Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I also wanted to commend Chelsea Weaver and her team at the Art Gallery. If you haven't had a chance to go over, the current exhibit features paintings by George Wilson. He is an aviator, a vet, and now he paints historic scenes, a lot of aviation. But the current exhibit is called 250 Years of Freedom, Moments That Shaped America. It's a fantastic exhibit, and I encourage everybody to check it out if you haven't had a chance to do that. At the art gallery on campus, the Anna Lamar Switzer Center. It's phenomenal, and I think it will run through August 7th, is what they said.
So Zach Smith, who is the chair of the PSC Board of Trustees, they're talking about an art exhibit, 250th, deals with aviation. Cool stuff, by the way. The Switzer Building, Anna Lamar Switzer Building is the, I call it Smurf Village, at the corner of 9th and Airport, if you know, the little white, you know, that's where it is. Very cool. And when I was listening to this in the PSC Board meeting, I thought, oh, Zach Smith, that's a cool thing. He's praising the staff. He's talking about an art exhibit. Everything's going to be cool. You know, we're going to have a nice, simple, boring meeting where nothing interesting is going to happen and Zach Smith isn't going to do anything dastardly for a change. Oh, how wrong I was.
Next up is a housekeeping item we need to take care of. Our former chair.
That's not the version of that I had meant to cut. Sorry about that. What he said there is... that the former chair, who has now gone on, Flash Gordon, has now gone on to be at UWF, and that he was basically asking for them to vote him the authority to act as chair now, even though technically he wouldn't be supposed to become chair for another 2 months, which seemed like a pretty innocuous thing until, you know, Zach's a lawyer, okay? So, and he'll do, in my opinion, whatever DeSantis tells him to do. And he has been an architect of chaos at UWF and at PSC consistently, very ideologically driven. He was one of the activists behind the Heritage Foundation's post relating to the Sanger Theater. He was one of the key people agitating over that. One of the key people that was responsible for Andy Hobbs getting removed off of the PSC board after Andy dared to disagree about WSRE. I think here's my theory. Okay. I think Zach ran to the governor and said, get rid of this guy. And he did. Just like he was the one that orchestrated the takedown of Martha Saunders, depending on how you view that incident, the installation of Manny Diaz, basically reducing the pool of applicants down to one. No problem with Manny, but that process was completely crazy. So here at PSC, forcing out Ed Meadows, remember I warned you that would come, and now they're doing it? Okay. Being extraordinarily rude to somebody who's actually a dear friend of mine, one of the sweetest people in the world, Ruthie Noel, when she was at PSC, and she's not anymore. So just an agent of bad things. Okay, if you know enough of the history, that's what I want you to know. So, very innocuous request, or so it seems. Hey, can you let me be the board chair, now a little bit ahead of time because the previous board chair? Oh, yeah, no problem. Totally no objections. Oh, okay, so I got another thing. Now that I am the board chair, it's one thing builds to the next. Here's the next.
And then this brings us to two other items I had tonight. We know that Dr. Meadows has announced he'll retire no later than the end of the year. So we need to begin the presidential search process, which means we need to appoint a presidential search committee. Given the time constraints we're facing, I think it would make sense for the members of the board to serve as the search committee. And since I'm the chair of the board, I will also chair the search committee as well. So this evening, I'll go ahead and formally appoint all of the members of the Board of Trustees as members of the search committee. And I will say stay tuned for more information about timing, procedures, requirements, that sort of thing in the coming days.
There was a ton of controversy and inappropriate behavior around the presidential selection process at UWF, and he was in charge of that. Now he wants to be in charge of this one. Just make me the chair. You know, no big deal. Let's not get, you know, pesky, like, community input from any other. Let's just do it ourselves. We got to do it fast. You know, we got to make sure that we don't, you know, gum up this process. I mean, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to make it happen. And, I mean, I'm sure that none of you people would dare to disagree with me because, you know, you saw what happened to Andy Hobbs.
Related to the presidential search committee, one of the first items of business we need to do is retain a search firm and other professional and administrative support staff to help with this endeavor. And so what I would ask, if someone would be willing to make a motion to delegate authority to me as the chair of the Board of Trustees to retain a search firm, to retain attorneys or other professional or administrative staff as needed for the search, I think that would be very helpful.
So moved.
Right, I have a motion from Trustee Atchison. Is there a second?
Second.
Second from Trustee McDonald. Thank you. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries.
And it's all done so low key. So no controversy here. No big deal. I've absolutely got whatever power I want, and I'm going to ask you for it. And I know none of you are going to object because, you know, you've seen what happens to people who object. This is what happens in a culture of fear, intimidation, and retaliation. You can afford to be soft-spoken and mild about it because you've totally secured power, just like at UWF and here at the Board of Trustees for PSC. Okay, John, you've only heard a portion of it, but I told you going into this segment, I want you to make sure I'm not exaggerating anything. You know the backdrop. You've been with me this whole time for a couple of years. You think I'm exaggerating, or am I reading this right?
No, you're reading it correctly.
Okay. Feel free to disagree with me.
Oh,
437-1620, you or anybody by text. There's more to come, by the way.
What?
It was the just so calm, so no big deal. Oh, it's unanimous, which is how it's been reported. It's unanimous. Well, why was the thing unanimous? Was it because all of the people who have been installed on that board were handpicked? Some of them are very good, okay? But is it because they know that there's no point in disagreeing because even if you raise questions, watch out. Watch out. He'll get you. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Florida West. Did you know that Florida West focuses on attracting and expanding businesses that create jobs, increase wages, and strengthen Escambia County's economy? Still rolling accident-free, starting to see a little bit of backup on 9 Mile Road going westbound toward I-10. But other than that, I'm not seeing anything else. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So back to the what seemed to be super low-key events that took place at the PSC Board of Trustees last week. But if you really understand the context, the backdrop, who's doing what, and what's being said, it's terrifying. Oh, just let me be the board chair a couple of months early. Maybe what we should do is we should just be the search committee ourselves and not involve any other members of the community like we've always ever done in the past. Let's try and do this fast because Ed Meadows is trying to get out by the end of the year. Just put me in charge of finding the search firm. And no problem. I mean, when I did this at UWF, I totally did it in squirrely ways and got the result that I and, you know, Governor DeSantis wanted. And, you know, don't ask too many questions because if you do, you know, things will happen. I don't have to say it out loud because you all know this. And then next step, right? It's all building, okay? Next step.
This brings me to the last item of business I have for this evening. I think many of you may not have been on the board when we had our last board retreat, but one of the things we talked about was some of the things that might be helpful for a new president as he or she is coming on board and beginning the job here at Pensacola State. And one of the things Dr. Meadows mentioned he did after he started is he retained a firm to do a comprehensive audit of the college. And so I think that would be helpful to go ahead and begin that process now so that the new president can have that information available to him or her as soon as they step into the job.
Doesn't it make sense to do an audit now while we can look into everybody's business and make sure nobody's objecting too much to anything that's going on? And we can, I mean, not exactly investigate everybody here at the college, but, you know, sort of investigate everything that's going on here at the college. And instead of doing it Ed Meadows' way, which is he came on and then did the audit, let's do the audit ahead of time and make sure that's ongoing during this. It's so reasonable. Get it done ahead of time.
And so what I would do, I'm going to make a motion this evening for the board to make a request to the Florida DOGE team to come in to Pensacola State College and conduct a comprehensive audit of the finances of the institution, an audit of the policies and procedures of the institution, and then to make a report and any recommendations to the board that we should adopt. So I've made the motion. Would someone be willing to second that motion? Second. Great. Have a second from Dr. Snyder. Thank you.
So let's do an audit. In fact, let's have Florida DOGE come in and do the audit. I mean, they're so good at doing audits, like they showed in the city of Pensacola's completely incompetent audit. Let's have them come in and do it. Because, I mean, maybe we won't get good financial auditing, but at least we'll get good ideological purity out of it. You know, we can really get the things that matter done properly. Any questions, any disagreement?
Is there any discussion?
I'm just a little curious.
Sure.
Is there an established DOGE team for the state of Florida?
Yes, there is.
That does this as a matter of...
Yes, this would be a request to the Florida DOGE team. And there is an established Florida DOGE team that performed these types of audits.
Be careful, George Atchison. At least, Atchison, I think that's who was speaking. They don't do a great job identifying speakers. I think that's who it was, you know. Questions sound like criticism, and criticism gets consequences, so just be careful.
Is there any other questions? All right, seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. Thank you.
In the span of about 6 or 7 minutes of very soft-spoken, innocuous-sounding, almost platitudinous commentary, they just gave Zach Smith the keys of the kingdom with no questions asked. Made him the board chair early, so then he could make them the only ones who would be involved in the selection committee, and he could pick the outside firm that would do the picking, and he would be able to refine it possibly down to, I don't know, one candidate, like we saw happen at UWF. Then they voted to let an outside audit come in prematurely now. And that audit just happens to be done by Florida DOGE, DeSantis's pet agency or organization. Any other questions? No, no other questions. We saw what happened to Andy Hobbs. We're good. It's all good. And listen, again, I want to be clear. There are some very good people on the PSC board. People I respect, people who are smart, people who know that what I'm saying is true. And people who are very likely thinking to themselves something like this. Well, if I raise an objection, I'm going to get removed. It's better for me to be able to influence the thing I'm a part of than to be seen as an outsider or a protester and not be able to get anything done. Maybe I can nudge this process along. Maybe I can fix the problems later. You know, maybe we can work within this system. Well, you know, I understand that. I don't think you can, because experience has shown that you can't work within this system, because the DeSantis team is going to have their way. And as somebody just texted me, what was the comment I thought was so good? Somebody says, it would appear things at Hogwarts are far worse than they appear. That's it. Oh, my goodness. If you don't see somebody else texting, if you don't see Tallahassee actively trying to damage local rule in Pensacola, you're blind. DOGE authority expires at the end of this month, hence the early board chair move. Like he wouldn't have been able to bring. It's all layered. Zach's a smart guy. He's a lawyer. He gets that in order to get to the part where I'm going to ask for the Florida DOGE team to come in, I got to have the authority to do this. I mean, you know, we already, you know, Flash Gordon already moved up to, Sprague already moved up to the, you know, other one, so it's fine. Just make me the chair of the Board of Trustees. It's fine. Don't object. Just give me this authority. It's no big deal. I know for some of you who are new to this conversation, like, Andrew, you're usually so fair and reasonable and balanced. Listen, people, you have to drag me with the evidence to this kind of animosity. And here I am. 7:25 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Okay, I said I'd ask the question in advance. John, have I overstepped the evidence or the context or the interpretation?
Nope, I've been nodding my head this whole time.
You sit back and watch what happens over the next 6 months.
Yep.
I've been right at every prediction about PSC so far. I hope I'm wrong about this. I've not seen anything to show me that I am. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Still rolling accident-free this morning, but if you are on 9 Mile Road approaching westbound going toward I-10, you're going to see maybe a 5 to 7 minute delay. Also, 9 Mile Road going eastbound approaching Highway 29, just experiencing a 3 to 4 minute delay there. Other than that, we are good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. If you need to buy or sell a home or you're thinking about moving, you know, maybe to the country, to the city, to the beach, picking up a vacation rental or a regular rental, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, they're super good at this. They closed 209 homes last year, 4 a week. It's a lot. You know, when the market was hot, they were selling about 230, something like that. Then the market changed, and they went down to 175 and then 165, which is still a lot. That's 3 a week. That's still a lot. But, you know, everybody's been struggling. Well, the market hasn't changed, but somehow they've managed to unlock the key, and they're selling homes that other people can't sell. It's attention to detail, little things, big things, follow-up, staging, pricing, listing, open housing, all of that stuff. And they get the results. That's the key. So you may know somebody that is a friend and you want to use them. And I get that. Okay. But are you hiring a friend or are you hiring a realtor? At least talk to Christina and then decide. I mean, go with your friend if you want to. It's fine. But just talk to her and find out what makes the most sense for you. 786-3996. You probably find out she's a great friend too because she really is so friendly. I make it sound like it's one or the other, but it's not really in the end. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Lasting strength for life is found in deep and sincere study of the Word of God. Specifically, if you're seeking strength for life, I challenge you to study the Gospel of John. The book's thesis explains that it has two main objectives. First, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And second, that believing ye might have life through his name. The 21 chapters set out to prove that Jesus was the Christ that the Old Testament prophesied about. And secondly, the Gospel of John offers eternal life in heaven through Jesus. Lasting strength for life starts and ends with belief in Jesus. So take time to read the Gospel according to John. You may be eternally glad that you did.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hey, this is David Williams. I'm seeking re-election to the Escambia County School Board in District 3. I worked for 35 years in the school system, where I've made a difference in students' lives, where I help increase the graduation rate, making sure our schools are safe, and ensuring our students are college and career ready. Please visit my webpage at davidwilliams3.com and view my platform for District 3. Re-elect David Williams, Escambia School Board.
Paid political ad by David Williams for Escambia County School Board District 3.
This is a statement from the National Weather Service.
September 2020. The National Hurricane Center predicted Hurricane Sally would come ashore in Mississippi.
A hurricane warning has now been issued.
But then Sally made a right turn and surprised us by coming ashore here with a destructive power we have not seen since Hurricane Ivan, which is why you should keep your radio on News Radio 92.3 for all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage should the storm make that unexpected change of course. News Radio 92.3.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3. 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hot as hell in here.
Yeah, man, but it's a dry heat.
Knock it off, Hudson.
Oh, the texts on the PSE thing are kind of vicious. I should read some of them. I don't know if I can read all of them. We need a No Kings protest at PSC. Somebody says, to question my authority means that you question the ministry. Again, the Hogwarts reference. Crazy how much this reminds me of the Star Wars prequels when Palpatine took over the Senate and formed the evil empire. PSC board sounds like it's made up of multiple spineless individuals. I cannot go as far as you, Andrew, and call them good people when they don't speak up. You can't change something from the inside when it's run by a dictator. Good people are also smart people sometimes, and they recognize how difficult anything would be if they object. You know, what's going to happen to them? Well, I don't know. Maybe it's worth a mass resignation. Maybe it's worth a protest. Maybe it's worth, you know, going to the political leaders and seeing if something can be done to recall anybody. Maybe one person in particular. I don't know. We'll see. DC Reeves is up next. We'll talk with him about the library and the Burdine deal.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. It will be a busy day for President Trump.
He is heading to Capitol Hill, reportedly to discuss with Republican senators the stalled SAVE Act. Bracing, they are, according to reports, for a heated discussion, potentially. While he's there, the press secretary says he's going to be signing the 21st Century Road to Housing Act, one of the most significant pieces of housing affordability legislation in American history.
Fox's Jackie Heinrich at the White House. The president posting this morning on Truth Social, no tolls, no insurance costs, and no other charges of any kind being sought or received by Iran on ships traveling through the Strait of Hormuz. New York Congressman Dan Goldman losing his primary to Brad Lander.
Solidarity is the force that we need to vanquish Trump's fascism.
He and two other socialist allies of Mayor Zormandani winning their races. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 76 degrees right now with partly cloudy skies this morning, and we'll get a look at our forecast with Brooke Richardson. That's up in just a few minutes. A charter elementary school is coming to the UWF campus. The University of West Florida Board of Trustees has approved the university to serve as the authorizing body for Somerset Academy. That's a charter school network that operates about 75 schools nationwide. UWF says the university will handle oversight only, not day-to-day operations. That school is set to open in August with between 50 and 60 students, kindergarten through third grade. UWF students, faculty, and staff will get enrollment preference. And eventually, the school could grow to serve up to 580 students through fifth grade. Construction is already underway behind Argo Village. Well, the wrecking crew has arrived at the old Baptist Hospital site downtown. Demolition began Tuesday morning at Ian Moreno Streets, and workers are tearing down connector buildings surrounding the old hospital towers. The crew says they know what the hospital meant to this community. Assistant project manager Caleb Kane talked to Channel 3.
It's a Pensacola staple. It's been here for a long time. So, you know, we're happy to be here. We are happy to see stuff finally coming down here. But, you know, we're grateful for the time that the hospital's been here and all the people that have been served.
Kane says dust and noise control are the top priorities throughout that project. The towers themselves will be the next to come down. Full demolition is expected to be complete by June of 2027. Former Congressman Matt Gaetz is returning to public life with a new appointment. Florida House Speaker Daniel Perez named Gaetz to the board of directors of Triumph Gulf Coast, the nonprofit that oversees Deepwater Horizon oil spill settlement funds in Northwest Florida. Gaetz begins his role on that board on July 1st. Well, a judge has removed the GPS ankle monitor from a Pensacola youth counselor awaiting trial on sexual battery charges involving a minor. According to the News Journal, Judge Matt Gordon granted a motion Tuesday after Rodney Jones' attorney argued he couldn't afford to pay for the monitoring costs. Prosecutors didn't object. Jones is accused of having sex with a 16-year-old girl while the girl was a member of his New World Believers Hoops program, which received funding from the Escambia Children's Trust. Jones told the judge his upcoming business travel plans to Destin, Atlanta, and New York. His next court date is in September. Well, Visit Pensacola is launching a free monthly storytelling series at its Visitor Information Center. The first event is this coming Friday.
We have a monthly free storytelling series at the Visitor Information Center. They last about an hour, or some of them are actually drop-in, drop-out, but they are free and open to the public. But you can pre-register if you want to, but you don't have to. It's more or less so that we can just make sure, you know, we have chairs set up and we have the visitor center ready for everybody. So you can learn more about that at visitpensacola.com.
Marketing and Communications Director Lindsay Strack, the Friday event will run from 10 to 11 a.m. and this week focuses on Carpenter's Creek and the role it's played in Pensacola's watershed.
The Visitor Information Center is at 1401 East Gregory Street, downtown. 735, and John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now, but if you're on Highway 90 coming south into Pensacola, you're going to see maybe a 5 to 7 minute delay there. Also, 9 mile westbound approaching I-10, you see a 7 minute delay there. And also I-10 westbound approaching the Pine Forest exit, expect about a 5 minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be seeing a 40% chance of those showers and thunderstorms today, high near 89 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 75. For Thursday, 50% chance of those showers and thunderstorms, high near 88. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 78 degrees. Heading into Friday, a little more sunshine with just a 20% chance of rain, high near 89. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 79. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
76 right now, partly cloudy skies. Your next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. President Trump said on Truth Social that Iran has informed him there would be no tolls, insurance costs, or charges of any kind for ships looking to pass through the Strait of Hormuz. His comments come shortly after the U.S. and Iran signed an interim peace deal to bring an end to the conflict. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent said on CNBC that the U.S. economy can get back on the path to 3% growth as the Iran war nears conclusion. Bessent said, quote, "We can have something with the 3 in front of it this year." FedEx has posted strong fiscal fourth quarter earnings in the company's last quarter that included the freight business before its spinoff. FedEx Freight spun off into a separately publicly traded company on June 1st. The company said it saw a 3% year-over-year increase in domestic volume. Futures are slightly higher as tech stocks rebound after the sell-off. NASDAQ futures up by more than 100 points. Yesterday, the Dow dropped 45, the NASDAQ down 579, the S&P 500 down 107. That's Your Money Now.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep. At Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
You recognize the smell of marijuana, but it's not just a smell. It's a warning. If you can smell it, harmful chemicals are entering your lungs, bloodstream, and brain, and our children too. Every inhale affects brain development and triples the risk of serious respiratory issues. Protect your kids and grandkids from the dangers of marijuana. Their future is on the line. This message is sponsored by the Department of Children and Families and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Planning your vacation? Why not take Pep Talk with Meg with you?
A vacation? Oh my God, I can't wait to go. Okay, where are we going to go first?
No, take News Radio along via the app.
Oh.
Just go to your app store, search News Radio 92.3, download the app.
Okay.
And listen to Pensacola's news leader with crystal clarity wherever you go.
And it's absolutely free.
That'll work.
Get it now and tap the app to get News Radio 92.3, no matter where in the world you are.
Down with the DC talk. Are you down with the DC talk? Down with
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News, and we're talking to Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves. This interview is brought to you by Lambert Transfer and Storage. Choose the team with a legacy. Lambert Moving Systems. Visit GoLambertTeam.com. Mayor D.C. Reeves, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here, as always.
Great to have you. Let's start with what I think is the almost perfect coincidence of timing that we can get an answer to a question we've been dying to have the answer for, which is this. We just spent a ton of money renovating Palafox. The big reason was not because of cosmetics. It wasn't even really because of surface issues and the cuts in the pavement. Really, the big goal was to get stormwater management accomplished for the first time ever in the history of that street. We had a massive downpour on Thursday or Wednesday, whatever day it was, right around the time of city council. So how did Palafox handle the big rain?
Yeah, very well. Actually, Thursday night, it had been raining for a couple hours. We were at our city council meeting, and so then a bunch of us were huddled up waiting on, just never-ending rain coming down. I didn't bring an umbrella, so I sprinted in my suit to my car. And before I went to turn to go home the other way, I was like, you know what? I'm in the car. Let's see how Palafox is doing. So I drove to Palafox and government, and it was as high and dry as certainly I've ever seen it. In after I don't know how many inches of rain had fallen, but it had been going pretty hard for a while. So that's your complete non-stormwater engineer assessment. Uh-huh. But I can tell you. What I do know, as a former downtown business owner, I own the brewery at Perfect Plain on Garden Street, very close to Palafox. We had sandbags, like we just had them in the closet. And so I know many other small business owners are that way. They probably still have them there now
because that
was just the way of life.
Yeah.
And so the idea that, it certainly feels good to know that you make that type of investment and, maybe they can, store, napkins and plates and all the other things you need to run a business as opposed to having to, stick sandbags in the back for a rainy day.
I think we have problem solving galore here. You can pitch the county on beach renourishment with all of the sandbags that all the Palafox business owners keep in storage just in case. See?
Man, so. that's the steward of the taxpayer dollar right there.
Love it. Man, lots of stuff to talk about. I will probably forget because you and I were talking off the air. And next week you're going to have a chance to do a kind of a cool thing. Tell them. Well, that is a first. We genuinely thought we had this thing figured out. And can I just do a little inside housekeeping? We thought we figured out the phone system by if we call them, it never fails. I was literally telling my engineer yesterday, it's never failed when we call them. Don't ask me to explain why. We just dropped DC when we called him. Sorry, DC. You there, sir?
Yeah, it's all right. It's all right. I was going to say, this time I was still on, you just went away. So
yeah, right.
You had said we were talking off air, and I didn't hear the rest.
Well, if it happens again, call back, please, because we like a lot of stuff to cover. We'll just make it work. Anyway, next week, what's going to happen?
Sorry, I didn't miss your contact.
We talked about it off the air. You got an invitation from the mayor of Philadelphia.
Oh, yes. So all the mayors of the country are getting together for the big America 250 celebration in Philadelphia. So bipartisan group. I think it's going to be televised on C-SPAN. And so kind of time capsule, both literally and, the moment of, all the mayors 250 years later of cities all over the United States getting together. And, so maybe it's a photo my great-great-grandkids will appreciate one day.
Nice. And I will say there was a part of me that when you said you're going to be on C-SPAN, there's a part of me that's like, oh, cool. And then I'm like, it's C-SPAN. It's nerd fame. But okay. It's still,
exactly.
You got to take it. It's a good
thing. I'll take it anyway. I can get
it. Right. Why not? East Hill Sidewalks. You guys are in the process of grinding and repairing and repaving because, there's over time roots grow, things settle, and you get trip and fall hazards, right?
That's right. And we've been doing this around the city. Easy to notice where we've done it. You see kind of the brighter color concrete because we've grinded down those areas that have been pushed up right there at the seams between each kind of concrete space. So we are going into Old East Hill, really not only Old East Hill, all the way to the bayou, east and west, kind of south of Cervantes. So you'll start to see some more of that work. So if you're out jogging or walking and making it, again, not only more ADA accessible if you're in a wheelchair or on crutches, but even when you're just on a jog, we get a lot of those comments positively saying, hey, you know, I used to run on that road and I'd even trip just jogging and with some of these really old ones. And so we're trying to, again, same way we pave roads, all that. Sometimes it's not the most exciting, the sexiest thing to talk about, but this is the type of stuff that we're doing. Maybe when you're not paying as close attention, that we try to make the city safer and make the city better for everybody.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, the basic work of the engineers, the audio team, the production team in a theater production. Like, you notice them best when you don't notice. They're doing their job best when you don't notice it at all. Well, you know, a lot of communities, you'll go and you'll see a crack in a pavement and somebody has orange spray painted around it as a hazard, which is a fine day one solution, but that's not a great year one solution, you know? Like, and that's the problem is, you know, getting it fixed in the long run so that it's, or in the shorter run, absolutely, so that it's actually in better shape. We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Hang on for just a second, Mr. Mayor. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Let's see here. We've got an accident, a hit and run in Johnson Avenue by Olive Road, and then we have another one on North Davis Highway by Johnson Road. Those just literally occurred. Let's see here. I-10, I-110 are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Bird on, second stage approval, you know, a 200-plus million project, 76, I think, million coming from Triumph. Just give us this is big stuff. What's going to happen? What can we expect to see if this really does go through at the port?
Yeah, absolutely. What you'll see is a $105 million building, 400,000 square feet in the northeast quadrant. And what that means in real terms is that open area, if you've ever sat out back at the fish house or a pit slip area over there, it's the open grassy kind of quartile, northeastern quartile. That's where we'll go. It'll be what we believe is the Trump administration's first reshoring of shipbuilding jobs in the United States. As you know, this has been a huge priority of the administration. And so City of Pensacola will be the first one to be able to get that done. And it'll be working on boats for the Marines and the Coast Guard. And most importantly, selfishly here at the City of Pensacola, 2,000 jobs, average salary, $80,000. What does that mean? That's $160 million of payroll per year coming from somewhere else, mm-hmm, not moving money around in the same community. But that's $160 million coming from somewhere else other than Pensacola to put food on the table, to pay for power bills, to create futures for people and real careers for people. And so I can tell you the next 4 years, our economic development focus isn't on finding another bird on. It's going to be on how do we make darn sure that these 2,000 jobs are going to Pensacolians.
Yeah.
And that means we've got to get very, very proactive on the workforce development side. Fortunately, I'm on the Career Source Board. I've got some of those relationships already. So we're going to have a summit at the city with federal, state, and local workforce development leaders. Where I'm going to bring them all together and just say, let's identify problems and let's pick solutions right now. You know, that we're not going to wait until these jobs are here. We're going to go ahead and do it concurrently to make sure that our kids and our grandkids are getting to participate and get these high quality jobs.
And I assume a lot of lessons learned from the ST engineering and what went well, what
That's
didn't
right.
go so well is going to, you know, translate into a better capability of, you know, properly making use of that opportunity. I love it. Hey, quick question, just because I've heard it on the rumor mill. The Gulf Power Building is still looking for a permanent occupant, and one of the sort of, you know, rumbled, rumored, speculated occupants would be more the management for the Bird-On folks, aside from the big building that they're going to be building. Do you know anything about either is anybody moving into that building, or could Bird-On be the occupants?
I have heard that the buyer of that building has reached out to them, but obviously that's a company and a property owner. Certainly the city has no role in that.
Okay.
But I would look at it. I would analyze it from the outside, just like you. That would make a lot of sense for whatever their, you know, equivalent manager. You don't need to be on port, but pretty close by. That would be a good location. And whether that would take up, that's a big building, by the way.
Whether that would take
up the whole building, part of the building. See, all those details, you know, we're not aware of. But if there's something that we can do to make sure that those jobs are staying close by the port and are in the city of Pensacola, we would absolutely help.
couple of things I want to talk about. One is the ongoing controversy over the library, where, you know, I've heard Jen Brer's comments. I've obviously read a lot of the reporting, and, you know, now Wes Moreno has apparently canceled the summer meetings over concerns about getting quorum. But if you have three people, you have quorum. So I don't understand that particular objection. But really, it seems like the rumbling from the city council is frustration with the interlocal between the city and the county. Is there any, at this point, any thought that the city and the county might be breaking up and moving to separate library systems?
Well, that's probably the last part of that question is probably more appropriate, you know, at this point for the county, since ultimately the funding mechanism is through a tax. So those are detailed. I don't know that the what ifs of whether the city would take back its own libraries and all of that. Now, you know, I always say I grew up in a household of lawyers. So I had my dad, my stepdad, my brother. My lawyer joke is I was the only one smart enough to not be a lawyer. Sorry, lawyers out there. So I guess what I'm saying is I think there's really two conversations to be had here. One is the lease.
We'll get him back here in just a second. it's live radio. He's by the way, the folks who are regulars are so good at this that he's literally, I think, back on the line already. Mayor, are you there, sir? Put him on, John. There we go.
The legal aspect.
Sorry, go ahead, sir.
Part of the legal aspect of what does this mean legally? What's the interlocal say and not say? So our city attorney's office is looking at that. So we actually know what we're talking about when it comes to, and not alleging things that the county can do this and not do this. Let's make sure legally speaking, we understand where everything is. And so we want to do that before we speak on it. Secondly is the financial aspect. I think that's the big question is, regardless of what the legal assessment ends up being, about whether the city can or can't do this, the county can or can't do that, it all funnels to one place, which is what is the future of the operations of the library?
Right.
This went to 2012, 2013, where, to be frank with you, the reason this happened, I know one council person said they didn't want it to happen. I believe the context was the city was going bankrupt doing it. That doesn't mean we don't take a look at that, or that doesn't mean that there isn't some viable solution. But I think we need to be in an assessment mode right now to, one, understand actually legally, not opinion,
right,
but on fact of like where things stand. And then secondly is, what are the what-if scenarios moving forward? Yeah. And how would that work? How would the taxing item, is that money that goes to the county and then they would want to give it to the city if they were to break up? I believe the county has the authority to say, hey, we're ending this agreement the same way the city does. So there's still, I think, a lot more to hash out on the back end of this than it is foraying into who has legal high ground on what these particular items in the short term, how they can be handled, because it's going to end in, Andrew, in my opinion, it's going to end in the same place. It's going to end in, okay, here's the dilemma that we're in. If we don't like how it's going, it's going to be changed. What are our options from that point, I believe?
Right. And I mean, which is, I know your approach to kind of everything is, let's learn so that we have an informed opinion, not just be based on speculation, outrage, or, you know, limited information. So I always appreciate that approach.
Right.
We've only got a little bit of time, but I do want to give you a quick second. Florida Doge round two. How excited are you?
Yeah. As excited as you think.
Yep.
You know what they did? They've asked for a lot of public records that any citizen can ask for and fire away. We thought about just sending back the outside audit completed by an outside agency that just got completed clean 3 weeks ago. I'm guessing that won't be sufficient. So they can ask for it, truly, all jokes aside, ask for anything that you'd like. When citizens should be concerned is if we had insecurity about any agency or any person asking for public records, fire away. And now how they want to subjectively assess those public records moving forward, I can't lose any sleep over that. I can't control how they want to determine the subjectivity of those records. That's not my job. My job is to provide them, and my job is to stand up for the decisions that we make at the city of Pensacola. So,
well, maybe if you do send them that audit, you can assign somebody who works in the city to also explain to them how to read it. Did I say it out loud? Anyway, Lightning.
You did, yeah.
I said it. That's right. And I don't say things for no reason. I'll just put it that way. Quick Lightning round. On your phone, do you have read receipts always on, sometimes on? You opt to tell people that it's been read. What do you do?
I generally try to not keep them on because I don't want to hurt people's feelings. I'm in and out of meetings. So this line of work, I try to not have them on because then it'll look like I'm ignoring someone. But
I got you.
That's a politician in me, I guess.
Inside your home, doors remain open all the time. Doors get closed all the time. Mix and match. What's the process?
I'm assuming you're talking about interior doors.
That's right.
June or July here.
Yeah.
I think we're more, you know, as mayor, I'm so used to an open door policy, Andrew, that I feel like I'm so committed to it. I think we just have an open door policy here at home as well.
Oh my God. I love how you get to be the fake smarmy politician every once in a while. It's fantastic. Last one for you. Does M&M color matter to you? And how do you eat your M&Ms?
Yeah, it does. And it's more of just disqualifiers. Like, I feel like if I'm eating chocolate with colors on it, like a brown M&M isn't very exciting, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I at least need a little pop of color. But I will not claim that they taste any different.
Fair enough.
I'm hoping that you don't do that.
And just for your knowledge, we found out yesterday that John Pickens has never, ever eaten one in his entire life and actually asked the question, do the red ones taste like cherry?
Oh, my God. How is that? I mean, y'all get on me about Star Wars and stuff. That's ridiculous. How is that even possible? I think that trumps my no watching Star Wars.
No. The community was fully outraged about it. Mayor D.C. Reeves, as always, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you again in a little while. And thanks for keeping us informed. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
John Pickens has traffic on the fives with no M&Ms.
Mm-hmm.
Did anybody give you M&Ms since yesterday?
No.
No, I'll bring her back in tomorrow.
And we clarified it, adult life as a child. Okay,
Too late.
I-10 westbound approaching the 9 Mile exit is experiencing about a 10 to 12 minute delay in that area through the construction zone. And let's see here. That's it. That's all I see. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives, and I still love Hershey's.
Need to move across town, across country, or even across the globe? Trust Lambert Moving Systems. Veteran-owned, military-approved, and now celebrating over 100 years of moving excellence. As a quality award winner, BBV accredited, and agent for North American Van Lines, they handle local, long-distance, industrial, and international moves with packing, storage, and warehousing available. Serving Pensacola to Mobile and all surrounding areas and supporting the Gary Sinise Foundation. Choose the team with a legacy. Lambert Moving Systems. Go LambertTeam.com.
Summer is here, and Prim and Popper is ready. From officially licensed Blue Angels and U.S. Navy merchandise to custom engraving and branded promotional products, they do it all right here in Gulf Breeze. Shopping for yourself, buying a gift, or putting your logo on something your customers will actually keep? Go see them. Visit primandproper.com or stop by their shop in Gulf Breeze, located in the heart of Proper on the way to Pensacola Beach. Prim and Proper, officially licensed, locally loved.
Greater Pensacola's leaders are in the tallest buildings and smallest shops, and they come together here to drive growth and innovation, to bridge industries, to share fresh ideas, and to understand how they can play a part in Greater Pensacola's success. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
The I-10 Wired TechNet CyberCoast Summit returns October 28th to Pensacola Beach. This is the Southeast's premier cybersecurity and technology conference. Get connected with top experts and explore the cutting-edge trends shaping our future. From AI to robotics to national security and healthcare tech. Discounts available.
All right, 7:59 here on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne might have a headline or two for us. David!
President Trump is set to host tonight's kickoff celebration of the Great American State Fair. It's at the National Mall. It's being billed as a patriotic opening ceremony to launch Freedom 250's first of its kind World's Fair.
Woohoo! 250 years, the semi-quincentennial.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio.